The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
It's The Weekend Podcast. I'm joined by Peter and Steve. You're on, lads.
Yes, thanks. Hello.
Morning.
Steve, this is very, very cold, isn't it, this morning? Yes. It was colder last night, actually, Steve. I went to pick up the missus from a friend's. It was showing us about 8 o'clock, but 2 degrees. This morning, I've been to Asda already, and it's about 4 degrees. So it's twice as hot this morning.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, who's the wife's friend? What's his name?
Yeah, it's Carl.
All right.
Yeah. She goes on that every now and again. Yes, do you know what? I was. Steve, I tell you what. Those smart plugs become very dumb yesterday and had me shouting at them. We change our... They're good. I love these little smart plugs Steve suggested. They're 40 quid for a pack of four. Put plugs in them, of course, lamps, and you can train them via app, a schedule, sunrise, anything like that. Anything that's got a plug, do it. You know, you can either put a schedule or sunrise. But I changed our router. We had a new router from Sky, okay, a bigger one. And literally, they become very dumb. They just couldn't find the network. I was literally... last night, everyone got to bed... I was at 10 o'clock at night fighting with them, the dumb things.
Can I suggest a really easy hack when you change your router, rather than having to change all the connections on all your Wi-Fi devices? Just change the name and the password on the router to the same one as the previous one, and everything just works again.
Does it?
Yeah.
Look at that.
How do you do that?
You just log into the Sky router, change the name to the same name, change the password.
Yeah, you say that, just log into the Sky router. Most people don't do that.
It's on the instructions of the Sky box when you get it.
Just go to the IP address, 192.168.0.1. Come on,
everyone knows that, don't they?
To have that, you're a geek. Like, no, do you know what? In fact, do you know what? That's, if you were going to sort of subdivide the nation into geeks and non-geeks, people who know your own IP address for your router... You stand over there, okay?
Yeah, okay.
It's time for a party political broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. Before we get into stocks and shares, because did you watch the Andrew Neil and Corbyn interview?
No, yeah. I missed it.
But I saw the bit that's done the rounds, yes.
Which bit is that?
Where he's asking for an apology about the anti-Semitic.
The apology. Well, listen, Jeremy Corbyn's out now. Put it this way. Let's talk about general election first, right? The general election is this. This is how it's going to go. It's either Conservative majority or hung parliament. That's it, okay? If it's a Conservative majority, the Brexit moves on from this deadlock of arguing that's happened. If there's not, that means Labour will probably try and form a government if they can with the SNP. The SNP have said... They will not pick up the phone to Labour. No, no, it's Jeremy calling. We're not answering. So they won't pick up the phone to Jeremy Corbyn unless he guarantees them a referendum on Scottish independence next year. All right? So if they do pick up the phone, he says, yeah, listen, you got that. Hang on. How will they know? If they don't pick up the phone and talk to him, how will they know, first and foremost? Maybe you'd have to send a text first. I'll give you a referendum. Will you pick the phone up, please? So we know that if he forms a coalition government, there will be a referendum on Scottish independence, all right? And the Scottish say they want to be independent, but they want to be part of Europe. So that's going to happen. Then Jeremy Corbyn and his remaining cabinet will go to the EU. Now, they're all on the same side because they want to stay in the EU anyway, the remaining cabinet. Jeremy Corbyn, ironically, is the only guy who's a provincial leaver in the cabinet who doesn't admit it, but now he's neutral. But they'll go there, try and get a good deal. How can you get a good deal from the same side, pretty much? You can't, can you, really? I know, because the EU knows you don't want to leave. So they'll come back with this deal... It's pretty much a Remainers deal, but it's a Leavers Remainers deal, and say so it's this or Remain. So, and we got another another year of a referendum, more arguing. So I'm just thinking for business, and as I said it'll be a nightmare again, another year at least, more than that, if we don't get a majority here. It's a hung parliament. Hung parliament is the worst from an investor's point of view. It's the worst thing can happen. There's a record amount of cash sitting on the sidelines. There's hedge fund managers not investing in the UK because of this. There's people not employing people because of this. There's businesses just paralysed. You ask any business. I've seen so many people now say, I was a Remainer, but now I just want to get it done. It's just so annoying. And people are starting to realise the paralysis of indecision is worse for business than any other decision. If we remain straight away, it'd be better. If we left or made a decision to leave, it'd be better. Where we are right in the middle is not good. That's where we'll be for the next 2-3 years if we get a hung parliament. That's what I'm worried about. So, listen, the Conservatives, oh, yeah, they have a lot of faults. You know, Bojo, let's be honest, he's full of BS. Let's be honest about it, right, you know? But they seem to understand...
He's full of more than that.
Yeah, exactly. But they seem to understand business more than Corbyn. Like, Corbyn was an unreal. I mean, there's several misjudgments he's made. That bit about apologising, he should just said, yeah, sorry. He would have moved on then. He wouldn't have been lampooning the press about that. He would have moved on, right? So that was a bad decision. He also said about, you know, we owe the WASPI women the pensions. It's a moral debt. Andrew Neil said, well, don't disagree there. How are you going to pay for it? No, it's a moral debt. No, but how are you going to pay for that? Well, no, we owe these people because it's a moral debt. No, how are you going to pay for that? And then he said, nationalising companies. Listen, this is about the NHS. The NHS is a problem in this, in the UK, pretty much, you know, because we've spent lots of money on it because it's a national company, you know? It's nationalised. That's the issue. It's like, if you're going back to when BT and you know, British Coal, all these companies, or British Gas, British Rail, they were dreadful when they were national companies. We had to plough millions into them, billions into them, and they were dreadful. When they became, you know, private enterprises, they became a lot better. There's still complaints, of course there is, but they become a bit more efficient. You know, they'd be held to account more by, you know, shareholders and all this. And you know, basically, you get hit in the pocket if you do it wrong. Now, the problem with NHS is it's nationalised, and no one wants to sort of privatise it, but Jeremy Corbyn says, no, it could be nationalised. But he wants to nationalise other companies, and he said, Andrew Neil asked him, and I cannot believe this man, Jeremy Corbyn, has got the level he has by being, and he's this economically illiterate. He said, he said, how are you going to afford to pay for this nationalisation? He said, well, government bonds. He said, so you're going to expand the balance sheet, more debt, more borrowing. No, not more borrowing, Andrew. Government bonds. We'll swap the bonds. We'll swap the bonds for shares. We'll swap the bonds for shares. So no, but that's borrowing. That's, you know, that's expanding the balance sheet. No. Government bonds, will swap them for shares. What are you talking about? You see this magic money, government bonds? Where did the money come from, you simpleton? You absolute brain-dead simpleton. This guy wants to nationalise, you know, the majority of the biggest companies in this country. He has no idea what government bonds are, how they pay for it. No, we won't borrow. It's government bonds. They are magic money. It's like, you stupid fool. The people have no idea what government bonds are. The government borrow money off investors, even private people, and they pay an interest rate on that. That is debt. It's like me going to the bank and borrowing off the bank. Same thing. Jeremy Corbyn does not realise that at all. How has he got this level and no one's told him? I don't understand.
But more to the point, how Labour, you know, a huge one, the opposition party, how have they ended up in a situation where they have a leader like that?
I don't know. Well, the thing is, did you see, I was watching GMB and Jackie Smith, who's ex-Home Secretary, she's Labour, she was knocking on the doors for Labour, canvassing for Labour. And Ian Dale was there as well, this sort of LBC guy who's Conservative, of course. But she said... how'd it go? They said to her, it went well. I mean, she said, our candidate for that area, for the Midlands, somewhere it was, is very good. And he said, yeah, and Ian did, yeah, but no one likes Jeremy Corbyn, do they? Even the Labour people don't like him. I don't understand how he's got, and she didn't, and she just smiled and laughed. And they've got a real problem, but Jeremy Corbyn's at the top there. He's very unpopular, and yet, you know, but the people who support, I just think the only people now who are fervent fans of Corbyn are more deluded than him. Because I just don't know, can you be at that level? Can you imagine being in a corporate level at that high up and being that illiterate economically, not knowing that's a basic thing, you know, really basic.
Hello, that's the world today, isn't it? We've got Donald Trump on one side of the Atlantic. We've got, I mean, Bojo is, he's intelligent to an extent, but he's an idiot in many ways. And we've got Corbyn in his opposition. It's bizarre.
Just even small things, like when he said about al-Baghdadi, the ISIS guy, should have been arrested. He said he had a suicide vest on. He blew himself up. He should have been arrested. a terrorist attack in London, and I did say, I felt childish for doing it. I said he should have been arrested. Hey, Jeremy, this guy stabbing people innocently, he should have been arrested, shouldn't he? And not shot. And, you know, and it's a failing on several levels. Listen, I know the problem with Conservatives of austerity is rubbish. It didn't work. It's never going to work. You can't, you know, stimulate an economy by cutting services, full stop. You have to invest in people. You have to invest in the NHS. You have to invest in schools. You have to invest in everything. That's the government's job. You know, essentially, when you come off the back of a financial crisis, no one's spending. It's down to the government there to pretty much spend and invest and stimulate the economy, really stimulate it. austerity was a bad move. And that's why, you know, if anyone was a Conservative now not voting for Conservatives, it's because austerity. That was the wrong thing. I do believe now that Johnson gets it. He's a little bit more like Trump. He doesn't care too much about spending too much. And that does stimulate the economy, you know. And it's, to a certain extent, it is a bit of funny money, you know, with his government. You've got to spend a little bit. But, you know, there's got to be a level to it. You can't just check everything it did, we go bankrupt. You know, Corbyn wants to nationalise stuff. Nationalising will just pull... People will... If you look at the history of nationalisation across any country, socialism and Marxism, right, investors, big money, pull their money out of the country when a government, you know, expands their role into business, you know, investors take their money out. That's it. So you can't just go and nationalise everything. Say, oh, we'll be better just by, you know, taking everything out on board. It's ridiculous. So...
Anyway, I don't think there's really any chance of Corbyn becoming the Prime Minister. I hope that Labour have the ability to have a majority. I know what you're saying about the hung Parliament, and I know kind of what you're saying about Brexit, but I personally can't bring myself to back anything that is get Brexit done. I just categorically don't want Brexit, so I'm not...
That's the lie.
I know.
The lie is, get Brexit done. It won't get Brexit done, there'll be negotiations. But those negotiations go in the background. It will not be...
I know,
but where we are at the moment is we are arguing at the first level. We've not even got the first level yet. Stumbling block, and it's in public, and it's you know, everyone's getting stressed with it. If we move past that stumbling block, the negotiations will go in the background, you know, and it'll be less of an issue, because at least we're moving in a direction. At the moment, we're not moving anywhere.
The problem with the general election, unlike the Brexit vote, where I was able to cancel out your vote, because it was a national vote, in the general election, we live in different constituencies, so I can't have that influence. So, anyway, I will just have to vote the way I want to vote. I know a hung parliament is not the best.
Well, if you want your stocks and shares to go down again, right? If you want a bad year, another bad 2-3 years of stocks and shares investing, go for a hung parliament. I think people are getting it, biting the bullet and saying, listen, I'm not a big fan of Bojo, I'm not a fan of Conservatives, but understand we have to move this forward. It's for the greater good of the economy. You know, at the moment, the economy is dying, slowly dying. And unless we move this forward, you know.
Yeah, but for me, the Tory cabinet, as it stands...
Let's just say that. The end result is this. What are you going to vote for? Because what you do, okay, what you vote for affects the economy. And regardless of... Listen, Bojo, he's a laughable character. He's a bit of an idiot. I know. He's more likable than Corbyn. But I think he understands it more than Corbyn. Corbyn just wants to Marxist socialism and wants to, you know, nationalise everything. And he doesn't understand how he's going to pay for it. Steve, are you on a drinking record attempt there? Drinking like a crazy man. What are you drinking?
Just a cup of tea.
He's like gulping that down like crazy, isn't he?
he's Steve, dehydrated.
Steve's going to drown himself. He's so stressed about Brexit, he's going to drown himself. what I'm saying is you're voting for a hung parliament. Basically, that's what you're doing. If you don't vote, you are. If you don't, listen, I know. I'm a Conservative more than Labour, but I'm not a Conservative supporter. I'm just anti-Labour. All right, so. Yeah, if you're voting for anyone else but Conservatives, you are voting for a hung parliament, full stop.
Yep.
That's it.
Let's do that.
Exactly.
Do we have to now talk about all the other parties equally?
Do we? Hell. Even Joe Swinson. Do you see Joe Swinson started off by saying, you know, she could be the next Prime Minister. She's ratcheted that back a bit now, and she's not mentioned that anymore. Everyone's thinking, what are you talking about? You're like a girl just out of the sixth form college, and you're just banging on. Looks way out of her depth. She honestly thought she could be next Prime Minister. Everyone just thought, what? How do these people get to these positions? I don't understand. I do not understand. Insane.
Well, I honestly think the upper echelons of all the parties are terrible, and I don't know how that's happened. But people below the other MPs, I think actually there's a layer of hardworking, actually half decent MPs, but we never get to hear about them because all the top level get the because they get all the top positions and get all the limelight. So it's bizarre, but anyway.
I was having this conversation with a friend yesterday. I literally have. I kind of know who I need to vote for, but at the same time, I do not want to vote for anyone this year. Like on this general election, it's bonkers, isn't it?
Let me say one thing: it's a good analogy, right? What Boris Johnson's doing now by trying to avoid Andrew Neil, people say he's a coward, but he is. But you've got to look at it, right? What's the greater goal here? What are you trying to achieve? For me, I just don't want a hung parliament. I don't want that. I mean, you know, if it was Labour that could avoid the hung parliament, I'd vote for them, but it's not. It's not like a majority. But look at Boris Johnson. People say he's a coward. But look, this is it. He wants to win the general election. At the moment, the way it stands, it's his to lose. You know, he's way out in front. Now, if he goes, the risk here is if he goes on Andrew Neil, Andrew Neil does an excellent job on him like he does with it. He makes, it'll knock his rating down a bit. He may lose some votes. So that will not get him a Conservative majority. So when you think of it, he's playing a risk scenario. What's the greater risk here? Me being called a coward or me losing votes because I go on the Andrew Neil show? Do you know what? The coward thing will drop after a while. So you can see why he's doing that, can't you, really? Mm. And let's be honest, he's a bit of a... like I said, he does make up things as he goes along. He's not a man for detail. Andrew O'Neill will take him apart, you know?
Yeah.
He's so good, Andrew O'Neill. He just bangs on his head. Is it funny how Labour just lied after by NHS? After that, you know, huge car crash for TV... Then I don't know, one of the senior Labour guys got up and started saying about the NHS. Well, Corbyn said they're selling the NHS. No, they're not. There's nothing in that thing. The 400-page documents. No one's really selling. The Americans have discussed it. It's not on the table for discussion. You know, when it comes to negotiations, and these are not negotiations yet. It's like they're trying to say almost like the deal's been done with Trump. You know, it's like, shut up, you fool. Yeah. Largely, the problem with the NHS is funded by the government. That's largely the problem. You know, what's the problem with trying to improve the NHS if it's via a private route? What's the problem with that? I don't understand the problem with that. You know, it's just Corbyn and McDonald just hate profit. Anyone making profit, they hate it. Well, we can make the NHS better though. No. People are making profits. Okay, but don't bother.
They're socialists, aren't they? So
yeah. Let's touch on stocks and shares, shall we?
Is that the? I thought this was the political podcast. The wrong one. Okay,
It's all a bit of news from Open Orphan this week. I think they're doing what they say. I hate the phrase. They're doing what they said they did on the tin. On the tin. What's on the tin? You know, it's a bit massive cliche.
Ron Seal. Yeah.
Ron Seal.
That was a great ad campaign, wasn't it? Anyway,
But they are, Open Orphan are doing what they said. Steve, how big is that mug of tea?
Yes. It's like a yard of tea.
It's done now.
God, I was going to say, that's all he's been doing. Since we've been talking for like 20 minutes, he's been drinking non-stop.
You'll hear the kettle go on now. He's making another one.
Yeah. Are you going to toilet in between? God, my bladder's full. Open Orphan, I genuinely think at the moment, it's one of those companies that, you know, we'll look back on and think, we should have tucked a little bit more into that. Because if you look at the calibre of the board, they've all had excellent experience. You know, these are proper guys, proper experience. Not like your Corbyns and Boris Johnsons of the world. You know, these are guys who've done very well in previous sort of incarnations. And they are now, like I said, they've got five companies signed up to this. So, Open Orphan, if you don't know about it, it's three parts of the business, pretty much. There's Venn Life Sciences, okay, which was already there, the reverse takeover. That was a pharmaceutical service company. So all the big pharmaceutical companies that need clinical trials done in laboratory stuff, all that, they provide those kind of services. It's low risk but high margin business. It's very good business. They're turning over, I think, about 10 million, maybe between 10 and 15 million euro this year. The market cap of Open Orphan is only, you know, 16 million. So that they will, and it didn't make much of a loss before it was taken over. They've realigned that, and they've also won a contract for that, some long-term contracts with big pharmaceutical companies. So that's going well. They're fixing that, and they're going to acquire some more companies, service companies, via that company there. There's also, I think, more exciting, even though that's the backbone, and that's the revenue, that's what you'll value the company on, you know, that's the backbone, sort of fundamental valuation of the company. The data platforms are very exciting. The data virtual rep, these days you still have drug reps going around. In fact, wasn't your mate Pete a drug rep, pretty much? Fingers. Yeah. Fingers one, was he?
Yes. That was his nickname.
That's an odd nickname to have when you go when you spend a lot of time in hospitals and stuff, isn't it?
Yeah. Yep.
Stop the fingers.
But they've got a virtual rep. Basically, it makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, they can have a rep as well, but they've got this kind of rep where anyone around the world can visit this center, this data platform, this, you know, cloud platform. So basically, does everything a rep does, and you can do all that kind of stuff. They've got that anyway. But also, quite exciting is it's first ever rare disease genomic advocacy-led database, which is rare diseases. About 30 million people in Europe have rare diseases. They were underfunded, so the government, made incentivized companies to come up with their drugs for these people. And they did this by making the clinical trials easier, faster the market, and also they give them financial incentives. So now it's gone berserk. You know, orphan drugs, all the companies are trying to develop orphan drugs. Now, what Open Orphan will do is create this database on the one side, who supply the data are the patients and advocacy groups in charge of the patients or looking after the patients. So it's the patient's data. It's non-compromised, can't be downloaded. It's secure. That'll be uploaded to Open Orphans cloud data platform. And on the other side, the demand is from the pharmaceutical companies looking at getting access to all this data. They've already done a deal now to set this up. They've got the platform. They've got five pharmaceutical companies signed up to it. Next bit will be the advocacy groups signing up to it as well. And they said this could be, because it's rare diseases, and they're very rare and they sort of, you know, premium value to them. Each sample, they're going to have 10,000 samples they're going to get to in 2 years, I said. So it's not hard to get 10,000 samples because, you know, it's quite easy. But we hope to get, hopefully before that, but within 2 years, 10,000 samples. Each sample will be worth about 5,000 euros. And he said, and so it's not only one pharmaceutical company that will have access to this. At the moment, five are trialing it and making it fit for purpose. So he said, you imagine if you have, well, you imagine if you have one, right? So 10, do the math, Steve. You're the math boy on this podcast. Mm. 10,000 times 5,000 is how much?
50,000. Oh, sorry, 5,000. Oh,
10,000 times 5,000.
Yeah. Sorry, yeah.
10,000 times 5,000 is how much?
I'm not very good with your hand in the deal. Is it 5 million or 5 billion? I don't know. It's up there in the millions, isn't it?
You missed the one in between. That's the one, Steve. You went 5 million to 5 billion. What's in between that? Higher than five? Higher than 5 million. Let's do Bruce Fuller. Bruce Fuller, higher than 5 million. Go on. Higher.
50 million.
50 million, you say? Yes, it's 50 million. Yes. I'll save you from Cardiff. So 50 million, that's for one pharmaceutical company to access that platform. Now, of course, it's cloud-based. You can have multiple pharmaceutical companies accessing that platform. So, you imagine if, like, you know, five did that. How much does that save? Times 50 million times five. How much? 50 times five.
500 million.
No. Yeah, 50 times five. Five times five. What is it?
50 million times 25, five.
25.
No. 25, yeah, 25, yeah, higher. 25, higher. How much? 50 million times five. Hello?
Yes.
Hello, Steve, yes? Still there?
I'm a calculator kind of person. Go on.
I'm not a calculator type.
Maybe you should get your calculator out.
I am a calculator person.
Okay, so if there are five companies, like I said right now, right, accessing that data, 250 million. That's just a start. That's just who have signed on to start with. You know, there are a lot more companies than that. They have 500 million. So the potential, what I'm saying is, the blue sky is with that data platform, and they're getting it going. It'll be up and running Q1 next year. Of course, it'll start slowly. But that is promising. I just think it's undervalued right now. It's a 16 million market.
With the patient data, though, what's the sort of the privacy side of all that?
No, it's anonymized, so you can't see the actual name of it. That's what they do. They're anonymized. It's owned by the patient. This platform is just a way of presenting it, and the pharmaceutical companies that say they want it presented like this. So basically, they'll you know, user friendly to them because they're the user, but the patient. Listen, there's benefits both sides. So the payment also, the money will go to the advocacy groups and payments as well. So I think it's a revenue split as well. So say half of that money will go to them, but so that, which will help research. But of course, if you're a patient with a rare disease, you want a solution to it, don't you? So why wouldn't you help this process? You know, also going to get money for it as well. You know, so rather than just sit there and suffer, of course you want to get help. And that's what it is. So you just basically say, yeah, you know, and now with GDPR, you're in charge of your medical data. So you can say to your doctor, flip it over to this platform, please. And you get, you know, written, just email them, basically, and you get confirmation, and it's there. So that's it. So it's anonymized. So, yeah, it's a very secure data. So I think that's it.
Have they been on the podcast recently?
Yes, they have. They had Morris Tracy on the podcast. Morris Tracy. Funny how Irish names are all spelled differently. Like CEO... I would pronounce it. First of all, I thought it was Cathal. It's Cathal, but it's, you don't pronounce the T. So Cahill, Frail, like Anna Frail, like Anna Frail, and then Morris is like Maurice Treacy, but it's Morris Tracy. So I don't know what. One time I was calling Cahill Cattle. I realised someone said he didn't pronounce it. Someone said, fair play, Cahill didn't even correct me. And someone on Twitter said, just saying, don't pronounce the T. you call him cattle, like a cow. And I said, sorry, guy, last time I spoke to you, I was calling you cattle. He said, oh, I don't mind, just an A, you know, I mean, I call all kinds of, you know, I mean, called worse than that. So, I Open Orphan, these are my top three biggest companies holds I got. Open Orphan, Expediator, and that secret company I told you about now. I really like them. Some more research on it. I'm not going to tell anyone. All you need to do is donate to the charity of Mandy's Butterflies, because we need to get that, £6,500 they need for that caravan for children with cancer and all that stuff. But
I saw we're about halfway there, aren't we?
Yes, pretty much. Well, no, about 40%. Yeah. So, if you donate to that, I'll tell you where it is. I like it. The more I've researched it, the more I like it. I think it's going to do very well. If the guy does what he says he does on the tin. But yeah, I like it a lot. But
is that the case for all shares, though, really?
If
they do what they say they're going to do.
Yeah. No, but the thing is, you have to look at certain companies are scalable, you know?
Yes.
Certain companies are not. Certain companies, of course, that's why people are attracted. Oil and gas this week had a nightmare, you know? People like i3 Energy collapsed because they've had. And there's been quite a few now oil and gas stocks. And certain people, if you want boom and bust, go with oil and gas stocks. Yeah, you can have, you know, several times your return if it comes in. If it doesn't, you've really wiped away half your money. You know, if you want that, go with pre-revenue oil and gas stocks. That's why a lot of AIM people love that kind of boom bust gambling. You know, and it's gambling. It is odds against gambling. That's all it is. And that's why I like that. The thing that you're going to be rich overnight. You know, but if you want sustainable growth. And you want a company that's maybe you know, if it's under the radar, it's had a turnaround story, it's had a bit of a, you know, profit warning, but then on the back, you know, it's going to grow again. You want sustainable rise in the share price. It's going to be backed by fundamentals, whether it's been good financials, I mean, you know, revenue, profit, all that. It can't just, because if you get an oil and gas company, Discover Oil, it'll shoot up by like double, maybe treble, and then it may come down a bit. But people realize, first of all, this company haven't got enough money to drill. The further drill, it's, you know, appraisal well, or even a production well, so they have to get funding. In the meantime, the operating costs are very high, so they have to go to the market and raise money, and all this stuff. And the chance of drilling one of those wells anyway, a wildcat well, or, you know, is like around about 10-1. Chance? Will you bet on always 10-1? That's what it's like. But, you know, put it in. It's not investing; it's betting. So that's why in resource stocks. These companies' prices spike because they get the initial good news out, but then there's years and years before it ever becomes on a production of resource, oil and gas, where you have to go through lots of funding rounds just for operational funding, and then you have to get, you know, some kind of debt from a big lender then to get the mine up and running or the drill up and running. Or, you know, so it's a lot of complex, a lot of time, a lot of money they need to raise, whereas, hang on, why don't you just go for a company that is cash flow positive? And is overlooked.
Yep.
It's undervalued. It's a lot easier, isn't it?
Well, of course. But then, you know, it's the excitement, isn't it, for a lot of people, perhaps, of the gamble.
Exactly. It's why people go to horse races, you know, there's a chance of... it's that kind of gamble. It's a gamble. That's it. It's a gamble! Oh, gamble! That's it. I don't know. I see people on Twitter, right? Oh, you know, they're predominantly in oil and gas. And I can see they've lost several times. To me... I don't like that. I don't want to lose. And in the end, I just evolve a little bit. I don't want to do that anymore. I want to move on to something else that has a bit more chance. That's why I went to tech. Tech has the same kind of upside. You know, when you talk about Open Orphan and this company I'm talking about that I mentioned, you know, has the same kind of upside, but they're closer to revenue generation, or they can have revenue generation, and it's less downside. So I don't understand why, you know, I don't understand why people keep going for these oil and gas stocks, and I see them keep losing all the time. So never mind, you win some, you lose some. It's like, no. It's a 10-1 gamble. There's more chance of you losing some than winning some. Put it that way. I don't understand that, you know? So, I mean, if you know what you're doing, it's good. It's fine to have that as part of a mixed portfolio, I suppose. But if you're just going for oil and gas and all the time and high-impact drills, you're going to go bust. Really are.
I think the only oil and gas I have now is Predator, and I've already taken profit there and all the rest. So I have a holding there, and... I mean, it, for that exact reason, that boom or bust thing now, because it doesn't owe me anything. I've taken profit, whatever. Let's see how that pans out. And it had a good rise on the last couple of days this week. But let's
just wonder with the i3 Energy, because I knew still in it. And when I saw it, obviously, fell down. I was like, oh, no. And I looked at the thing. For some reason, I've only got like £200 in it. It was really odd. I'm not sure why.
Just randomly left. It was like 10 grand.
It was 10 grand.
No, I know. It rose up. And my father still held some of that. I don't know why he did. He just still held some. I don't know. Why have you still got that?
On the Friday, then it shot back up by 33%.
It had a big sell-off, listen. They came up with one drill, was bad news pretty much. They said they're evaluating it, and then it dropped. And it rose towards the second drill, which was the main drill. And then there was selling going on. Lots of selling on a Friday. No, I don't know what day it was, but a lot of selling going on before, and you know, the results were imminently due. And so someone, you know, in the city somewhere probably got a hold of this. It must have leaked, surely, because there was just so much selling going on, and then people started getting spooked, and then they released an RNS late in the afternoon saying there's all water contact and there's not the depth of the reservoirs as big as we thought, but still could be economically viable. So again, it dropped 50%. I think, wow. So yeah, it was questionable activity going on around that, and I think it's quite bad. But do you know what? It comes down to it. Investing is very effective because it hits you exactly where it hurts. You know, you go in it to make money and you lose money. If you don't learn from it, you keep losing until you can't play the game anymore. So you've got to adapt and evolve very quickly. And I just think, you know, fair enough, it's good to have a little bit of oil and gas maybe, but, you know, not the core of your portfolio. If it's just exploring, production is fine, of course, they're making money, but I mean, you know, high impact production is too risky. Who says that? Who says that? Too risky. Who says that? Somebody says that. Do you remember that? Are you still with me, ladies and gentlemen?
You dipped out there a bit. Well, I think you're talking to yourself there.
Yeah, well, I generally always do, to be honest. There we are.
Right.
All right. And,
what was the question?
Nothing. I said, who said too risky? Okay. Some of the catchphrases. And also, by the way, Expedia are like that because they pay a dividend and I think they've been oversold. They'll be going back to growth next year and I'm quite happy there. Since the directors have bought, last 11 days, spread over 11 days, directors have bought in 5 days out of 11 days. And so you think, well, they're just spoofing the market. You know, there's. I understand now they can only buy in closed periods, open periods. So there won't be any news between now and a month's time, which is fine because it's Christmas. And but Stephen did say that in the podcast. I said, but next year, flurry of activity. A flurry.
Yes. So I haven't bought yet because I was waiting for it to cool down a bit after its little spike. But I'm interested.
Yeah, that's the thing sometimes. When companies like this are backed up by fundamentals, the spike doesn't, you know, it's not that pronounced, you know, it doesn't come straight back down.
No.
Because, anything else happening? Neuformix is...
Neuformix, I was going to say. They announced a placing, whatever, but they had a kind of strong support and reaction to that. That was nice to see.
Yeah, but this come back down because there's been there's news. I think news flow is picking up. I think things are happening there, and I think it'll be like London Bus. I think several things are happening at once. But I do like Dan and the guys. I like what they're doing. Way Education, so Jackie, the CEO, has been selling some stock, and she came on the podcast and say, listen, I've been investing in this company for 16 years. I've never taken a penny. And I have bills like everyone else. And and she did save it. I got a mortgage, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I still own 7.5% of the company. So I'm not allowed to take some money out. You know, I do need to pay some bills. I've invested everything. I put all my livelihood in this when we started. She said everything I had. So don't. So when people start saying, oh, you're selling out. No. I own 7.5% of the company. And I've sweated this blood, tears, and money for 16 years. So I think I'm entitled to take a little bit out to pay some bills. So I think, yeah, absolutely. I've never been more aligned to it now, or you know, more up for it now than ever. I'm really looking forward to the future. So that's nice to know. You know? I suppose, yeah, right. So you know, directed buying is a good thing. If they buy too little, this is annoying. But directed buying says they like the company, they think it's undervalued, I think, generally. Yeah. When director sells little bits, you shouldn't read into it generally. That's, you know, that's it, they're out of it. Of course, you're not out of it. You know, it's literally, it's probably the best money she can earn by staying in it. But let's be honest, people have, you know, costs and expenses, don't they? Anything else, boys? Anything worth talking about?
No, not for my portfolio, not a huge amount going on. Some have gone up, some have gone down.
Skin's been having a little bit of sell-off. You should look about, about looking at it, scaling in a little bit, because it's holding a good line. You should dip below 200-day moving average, but have a little read. You know, the growth there is very good, and this is not including a deal I've done recently with another company. So I genuinely think this could surprise to the upside. For a while, though, we're valued at Skin at the moment is valued at 16.5 million. Of course, revenue this year is near a million, but next year is 4 million. Now, they continue that trajectory, and Jerry looks like he's very confident he can do that. Then I think it's one of those companies. Again, it's data. You know, they own RhinoCloud. Their data platform is good. It's expandable. It really is. It's scalable, very scalable. You know, they've got LabSkin and all that as well. Got a lot of demand for that. So I quite like that as well. I just like the business model. Works very well for me. Again, Jerry, skin the game. You know, skin is thicker. So do some research. Worth looking at. Cool. Listen, I've got to go because the folks are down and we are going to Winchester. We had a cracking day in Winchester the night. We had a lantern parade. We're in the Winchester Cathedral. And at a lantern parade, you make a lantern and you walk around the cathedral, come back, fireworks. All right. Very Christmassy. Winchester's very Christmassy when it's dark. There's Christmas lights everywhere. Nice ones, twinkly ones, you know?
Yes. It is a nice little city, that, isn't it?
It's one of the most expensive in the country, isn't it? The best place to live in the country. And that's why house prices are ridiculous there. Absolutely ridiculous.
You know? Are you selling?
Yeah. I can't buy there. It's ridiculous. Anywhere else... And you could just lob, 100, 150, 200 grand off the price of the place there. You know, it's ridiculous. How are house prices in Cardiff, Steve?
They are going up, but they're not ridiculous.
Are they? They're not. Yeah. Have they gone up massively?
Not massively, not in the last year or so, but they're not going up.
You get a lot for your money.
Yes, but then you could also go 5 miles, 10 miles out of Cardiff, and then you get a hell of a lot more for your money.
Well, that's true. But then, do you want to live there?
No.
Exactly. Yeah. Something there feels. It's you and a cow. Cardiff and Cardiff, as cities are concerned, I think it's got undervalued. We're valuing cities now. Put Cardiff on a PE5.
I think it's going to have a placing soon.
Yeah. If you look at the cash Cardiff's got, look at the earnings, put it on a PE, modest PE of 10. And, it's undervalued, really undervalued. And you can value humans like that, couldn't you, actually?
So let's start with Steve.
Yeah. He's full of tea. He's got a lot of tea inside him, a lot of assets in there.
Yeah.
He's
shown some potential.
Yeah. Have you got any... one other tip. What browser do you use?
Chrome, mostly, or
don't,
Safari.
Don't.
Right.
Go to Firefox. It's very clever. Firefox now. They don't track you. I've got a Facebook guard. They've got a Facebook guard that installs you, stops Facebook tracking you around. Did you know this? No, you've got any website that has a Facebook share icon on it, right? There's icons of Facebook on it. It's got social media buttons. So any article, Facebook can track you from that. So you don't have to go to, don't even have to click that button either. So basically, you can pick up where you are from that. So Facebook is so evil, it tracks you everywhere. So go to Firefox and install the Facebook app. It tells me, I go to sites, and there's a little one next to little Facebook, there's a little icon, there's a little sort of gate, and I go one, or exclamation mark. It tells me, Facebook just try to track you on this page. I'm not even logged into Facebook. I'm not even clicked on any Facebook stuff. It's phenomenal. Try Firefox, honestly.
If you want real security, use Brave, which is a blockchain browser.
Blockchain! I talk about that. Bitcoin's on a hammering. It's coming back though. Will it come back? It's in a downtrend.
Completely out of Bitcoin now?
Yes, because I told you it's a downtrend. No, I still believe it's going to rally strongly. It's because when its momentum's behind it, massive milestone coming up. But I said it nicely. I said, Steve, I don't like it. It's in a downtrend. I'm getting out. Mm. I told Steve.
Within a day or so, it went right down, didn't it?
Within that afternoon, it just dropped like 4% after only dropping 1%. I said, don't like it. It's in a downtrend. It's now still in a downtrend, but... it's got to break above sort of 8,500 to get back into that uptrend. And at the moment, it's struggling again. So it could go lower. I don't know where it is. Where is it at the moment? So it's struggling. And I don't know if it's going to... Listen, we got... Just on moving averages. We've got the 125 crossing over the 200-day moving average. Last twice it's done that, it's gone significantly lower. So I don't hold out for it here. I think it's going to go lower. So, but I'm looking to get back in, when we hit the bottom. At the moment, it's the volatility of a bear market. That's what it's got. And that's why, you know, like I said, I don't like it at the moment. I want a nice trend. When it did that trend in this recent rally that started back in April, it broke up, and before that, it had months of going nowhere. So you're a nice base to form off. It hasn't done that recently. It's been very volatile. Up, down, jagged, jagged, flat, flat, up, down. And so it's almost like the volatility of a bear market. Bear markets are very volatile. So it'll sell off, rally quickly, you know, a lower high, then sell off again, rally quickly. And so it's got that feel about it, you know, so that's why I'm out. When in doubt, get out. You know what I'm saying? It's one thing.
I've got one. When in doubt, don't ever get in. It's not quite as catchy.
It's not as catchy, that, yes. Right. But don't vote for a hung parliament, Peter. Please. Please, Peter, I can't be doing with this in the stock market now, another year of this treacherous and going nowhere. Please.
But I think there's more than one way to skin a cat, and it's not as simple as... the simplest thing, a Tory majority and all that. I just think, no, I think that's not the best thing.
Oh, yeah, why not go for the simple version when we go for the hard version? What are you talking about?
If it's worth achieving, it's probably difficult. That's life, isn't it?
Don't vote for a well-hung parliament.
God. That's what I want. Yeah.
Just think of that. Don't vote for a hung parliament. If you vote for anything else, that is. If it was, I don't care. Do you know what? Even if the SNP, the Scottish National Party, looked like they get a majority and it would never be a hung parliament, I'd go for them. I don't care. I just want to get it done.
Well, that's the beauty of democracy. Everyone's entitled to their own opinion.
They're not. Do not vote for a hung parliament.
You're never going to win, Pete, so I won't even bother.
You're never going to win if you vote for hung parliament.
No. He's not going to sway my... No matter how much he tries, he's not going to sway my opinion, so I'm okay. And Steve, don't get brainwashed by him.
Oh, I don't... No,
that's true, though. You're going to... If you vote for... Listen, the option's this.
Okay, we're off now.
Conservative majority, hung parliament. That's it. That's only two options. That's the only two options.
Let's look at the other options.
There's no other option. If you look into it, all the stats, look into it, that's the only options. It's Conservative majority or hung parliament. That's it. That's the options.
But then let's move it on from that. So hung parliament, but not in a great position.
Not again!
Hold on. Corbyn goes because Corbyn's rubbish. He needs to be out. Someone like a Keir Starmer or someone half decent actually comes in, gets voted in as leader. We have another election and then potentially someone with a bit more of a progressive forward.
Another election? How many years down the line we got this?
That could be in the springtime.
No. Our portfolios will be decimated by the time that happens.
I'm thinking about the bigger picture and the future of our country.
Well, the economy will be trashed before we get that. Oh, you didn't have a mind.
Don't worry about that. It'll come back.
Well, you trash the economy first. Everything will be out of jobs.
It's all about the short term.
No. There'll be no economy left. We'll be scrapping around on the ground looking for bits and snacks and crumbs off the floor.
Listeners, make your own decision. Don't listen to Justin.
That's what'll happen. Fact check that. We'll be scrambling around the floor looking for crumbs to eat. Bye-bye. Have a nice weekend.
Fact hunt.
Yeah, same to you.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.